sisters, friends and family. It's great to be together. Man, that song just got me pumped up. Yes, that was awesome. Love that song. Man, it's a wonderful song about making us bold. My name is Kendall Knight. I'm one of the evangelists here. They call me a tent maker evangelist, so I'm a volunteer minister with the church here, serving in the awesome Thrive ministry. So we got any Thrive people? There they are. We hear them with my amazing wife, Diane. And we're really so excited to be able to share with you our continued series in the book of Mark. So if you'd open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, I'd really, that would get us started there. And today we're really talking about, again, walking the way of the cross, the Gospel of Mark. And it's been great to be able to kind of go through the book of Mark together. The way I study my Bible, I'm sort of a conceptual learner, a little bit of ADD there, so it's hard for me to sit down and sit for hours and read. So I sit in spurts and I kind of look through the chapters and the passages, and then I try to meditate on the passages, and then I try to internalize the passages to make them applicable to my everyday life. And Mark chapter 10 was really an inspiring book to me. There's many concepts in the book that Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he's trying to really help them with some things. And it's a fast-moving gospel. It's amazing when you look through it, the amount of situations that Jesus is addressing as he's working through, you know, the gospel. And really, the thing that I got out of Mark chapter 10 is a couple of concepts that I want to help us with. And it's really understanding our why, the ransom life of Christ. I think it's important, anything that you do in life, is important to understand your why. Why do I do what I do? And I think that's critical as you age as a disciple, because there's going to be ups and downs and, you know, thrills and spills, church hurts, family hurts, children hurts, marriage hurts, you know, friends hurts, unemployment. There's so many things that can take our focus away from Christ himself. And I think it's important for us to understand the power of understanding why we do what we do. And so when you look at Mark chapter 10, the amazing thing about Mark chapter 10 is that there are five events that take place. I'm not going to go through specifically all of the events, because I think you have to break them all down, and it's too much content to break down in 27.26 minutes. And so I'll go ahead and try to give us a broad picture of that, and then we'll try to drill down on some specific concepts, and then I may allude to some scriptures. You can write them down. I'm not going to go off track, Jeff Hickman. I'm going to make sure I stay on track. I want to stay in the text, big bro. Jeff is like 6'4", and he's rocked up now. You know what I'm saying? So don't mess with Jeff. He be the minister that'll swarm you, boy. You know what I mean? So watch out for Jeff Hickman. Great brother. Awesome. Not only Jeff, but then Jordan, man. Jordan to get after you, too. And then, of course, Tom is sort of the way he decides. All these evangelists are amazing brothers, so I love them all. I learned so much from all of them. Let me get back on track. So what's interesting is you go through Mark chapter 10, it's really interesting. Jesus starts to talk about divorce. Divorce happened there. There's some things that happened that alluded back to the Old Testament. We won't get into that, but he did talk about divorce. But one of the things he talked about was the reason that there was divorce in that situation is because relationships had become transactional. That was what he was addressing. He was addressing the transactional component of the relationships, right? And so then they bring the little children to him, right? So here comes the little children. And these guys are indignant. They get mad. I don't want to serve the children. What's up with these children? I don't want anything to do with these children. And then he's addressing their selfishness. And then it's interesting. Here comes a rich young ruler. Man, it's great to have lots of money. Man, it's awesome to be able to have this money. And not everybody needs to give away everything they have. But in this case, that rich young man needed to, in order to test his heart, to make sure he understood his why. And guess what? He wound up turning his back to it. And Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. That spoke to me personally, because I know my why for a long time, especially before becoming a disciple. And even in some moments as I became a Christian, as I was working through church hurt, years ago in my life, come talk to me, I can talk to you about that. I shifted my focus back to being, you know what, I'm gonna make as much money as I can. Forget this world, I'm gonna make as much money as I can. So that was convicting personally to me, kind of helped me knock me back on my path of what's my why. And then, of course, you know, he goes through. He says, look, guys, here's the third time I'm talking about. Here's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to go through this death. It's going to be intense. This is what's going to happen. They're going to treat me like this, treat me like that. And then, finally, he comes to Mark 10, verse 35, and it's really interesting. So let's turn to Mark 10, verse 35, and let's look at that. You guys with me here? So he says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you, he asked. Now, okay, guys, that question. We want you to do for us whatever we ask. Now, Jesus, transfiguration, okay, feeding the 5,000, you know, healing a man with demons. All of this happened before this passage. So think about it. Think about our hearts, how difficult it is for us to get it. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those from whom they've been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to become first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus is trying to help them to find their why. So they finally come to him and say, hey, look, we want you to do whatever we ask. We want to sit at your right, sit at your left. Jesus says, you got to count the cost about this. Can you do this? And then finally he says, for the Gentiles, they lord authority over them. Not so with you. Amen. Not so with us. Not so. Hold up, wait a minute. Remember that song? Hold up, wait a minute. You know what I mean? Some of you guys don't know us. Some of my club days, you can tell, right? Hold up, wait a minute. No, so anyway. Why define the compelling higher purpose that inspires us and acts as the source of all we do? That should be our why. The compelling higher purpose that inspires us and acts as the source of all that we do. Ransom defined, the Greek word for ransom is lutron. I'm going to pronounce it that way. It may be different, but I'm going to say it that way. Okay? Sometimes with these words, they are different things, but I'm going to say it that way. Meaning the price of release, ransom or redemption, price, especially referring to the money paid to free slaves or captives. Continued, ransom is closely related in thought to the concepts of purchase, to buy, to redeem. The Greek term means to release on receipt of a ransom, to liberate by payment of a ransom, to redeem and deliver from the penalty of sin. Amen? Amen. That's what it means to be redeemed. That's what it means when Jesus says to give my life as a ransom for many. That's what he calls us to do. Now, in some translations, the word here, serve, means slave. It means slave. It means that we have no rights in regard to, if we're going to follow Jesus, we're not going to lord our authority over him. The strength is in humility, as Jordan shared last week. The strength is in serving. The strength is in laying down our lives. Being like Jesus requires us to be a vessel and a conduit for him to be able to use us through the power of the Holy Spirit, but we must be humble in that action. That's what ransom is. He paid and delivered us from sin. The thing I appreciate about my wife, I'll hold her up here a second. You know, when we went through our challenges, and like I said, I do have some ADD, ADHD, and I'm emotional, a little bit more emotional. Diane, believe it or not, in many areas is more steadfast in some spots. I'm more reactionary. I can get a little, you know, this way, that way. And we were going through some of our most challenging times in our lives. Diane's heart was, no, we serve an amazing Jesus. When we were going through our intense poverty situation, quote unquote, by American standards, when we had to pawn her wedding band and we had to sell like lawnmowers to keep the lights on. When we had to do that, she was steadfast because she focused on the ransom that was paid for us. When she went through all the difficulties, when we had to modify our loan to make sure we didn't lose the house, there were points where we didn't even want to write a check to the church. We gave cash because we were scared it would bounce. We stayed focused on the ransom, and she helped us. Now, that's not the case anymore, amen? Thankful for that, you know? But we went through a period of time where it was really, really difficult. And there have been other things. My brother, there have been other things. I don't want to get into that, but I want to share with us, let the why be about this. Let your why not be about what someone has done in the past. Let your why be about Jesus resolving our conflict with God. That Jesus stood in the middle and he stood in the gap to save our souls. That he paid a price. And not only did he pay the price, he overcame death. It's in the resurrection. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse whatever. Go look it up. That's my paraphrase. But that passage gives me so much hope. When I'm down and out, I look to 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to God. And you know why that's a powerful passage? Because the context of the passage is that Nero himself is ruling over that time. People are getting cut, sawn in two, craziness because of their faith, and yet we have a living hope in spite of those challenges. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. Yesterday I called up Scott Davis. Some of you guys know Scott Davis. Scott Davis studied the Bible with me along with some other brothers in Queens. Thank you for those of you who are out there. And I just called him, and I don't speak to him very often, and I called him. He baptized and studied the Bible with me 30 years ago. I said, Scott, thank you, bro. Thank you for changing the destiny of my life. Thank you. He was on his way to a funeral, so that was encouraging to him. Bro, I just want you to know, when you guys studied the Bible with me, it changed my life forever. It changed my life because I'm redeemed. I'm saved. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm still a sinner saved by grace. The Bible says we're sinners saved by grace. Romans 3:23, we all fall sin and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. Praise God that I get to be a part of this life in spite of who I am. I don't refer to myself in past tense. I refer to myself in present tense. I think that's the other thing that's important about the ransom. The ransom is paid continually. In 1 John chapter 1, it tells us that. It says that if we say that we're without sin, we're liars. We only have fellowship with Jesus' blood because we're proactively understanding that we need to be forgiven on a daily basis, moment to moment. The blood of Jesus needs to shower us consistently and constantly, and we need to be aware and recognize that. Don't refer to yourself as past tense. Refer to yourself as present tense. That we're sinners saved by grace. You look in what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, look, there's a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan. Three times I asked God to take it from me. Three times he asked for it. He says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Stay right there. Stay right there. So for some of us, we got to come to the conclusion that, yes, we're going to struggle with impurity. I had a conversation with a brother about that yesterday. We're going to struggle with anger. I had another conversation with another brother about that yesterday. I said, that's not who you were. That's who you are. And because of Jesus, you get to be saved because of that grace. He's paid the price for that. That is so important. I think we've got to make sure that we're not too comfortable in the ransom price paid for us in Christ. I think what keeps it fresh for me, what I really love about working with the Thrive Ministry, Diane and I get to study the Bible and work in people's lives that are 30, 40, and close to 50 years younger than us. We get to do that. You see my gray hair? Diane's just beautiful. You know, she's awesome. But we get to study the Bible with people who are just young and want to know about Christ. And it's so cool. You know, I've been working with kids for many, many teens and players for 40 years. I enjoy working with those guys, coaching them up, helping them with their lives. But when you see someone young that decides to look, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life, and I want to be redeemed. I understand the price that was paid for me, regardless of my lifestyle. It's inspiring. It's encouraging. It's uplifting. And you know, we got to study the Bible recently with a guy named Shamir. Stand up, Shamir. Let him see you, bro. Let him see Shamir. There he is, my man. Chi-town. And we studied the Bible with him. When we counted the cost that night, I was drinking bottles of water because I had to have an emergency root canal the next day. So I'm standing in the baptistry. Hey, bro, you know, it's good to see you. And I'm at the study, literally. Sit down, Shamir. You're good, bro. Amen. Thanks. I didn't even. Thanks. Way to follow commands, bro. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But I'm studying the Bible and we're drinking water. I'm like, the only way my tooth would be soothed is by drinking the water. It was miserable. I chipped the tooth. It was awful. And I'm standing there. And then we took a picture and smiled. I'm like, oh my God, it was terrible. That night, I'm drinking water the whole night. I couldn't sleep, slobbering all over myself. Finally, I get the tooth taken out. It was awful. But no matter what, I was going to lay my life down for this brother. I was going to lay my life down with him. I wasn't going to skip that study. And I'm grateful for the brothers like Isaac and Elamine and all the guys who got in his life and Kirby and all those brothers who were there, cross-generation of guys, cross-cultural generation of guys. So encouraging to work with the Thrive Group, singles and newly married, especially the newly married. We're getting ready to help marriage counseling with a very young couple that's getting married. Jeremiah and Alyssa, we're fired up about that. You know, so we're doing a marriage counseling. This is awesome. Jeremiah's 19 years old. I'll be 60 next year. Diana will be 67. We're like, hey, this is what you need to do in your marriage. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, it's just awesome. I'm like, oh my God, they're so young. It's so cool. And they're so humble. And Jeremiah says, hey, bro, I want to do everything you've taught me to do. I'm like, wow, this is so refreshing. It's incredible. But Shamir, man. The other day, we were studying the Bible with a couple of people. It was like the old time. We worked in a full-time ministry in New York many years ago. And Diane and I were tag team Bible studies and tag team rooms. And we had a flashback on Thursday, honey. We had a flashback, right? We had a flashback. So Diane says, I'm going to go upstairs. I said, okay, you go upstairs. And then I'm going to go downstairs. And the brother all crammed up. Now, I was being aggressive. We had more people than they did. But I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and let them take the room. But it was so cool. Because Diane's like, look at this. I'm like, what? She says, look at Shamir's website. Shamir makes clothing. And he's got a website with clothing. And it's like on the website is Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Come on now. Repent and be baptized for forgiving your sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, so on and so forth. And then on the website is Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. And I called Shamir, hey, Shamir, hey, tell me this, bro. Why did you put that on your website? He says, look, man, here's the deal. I know my why. I want to glorify God with this line of clothing. That's what he said. So, Diane, you got a couple of sweatshirts. We invested. I'm not promoting this business. Shamir, I'm giving you a shout out. But I'm not promoting this business. But we got a little disciple hoodie up in here. Here we go. Glorifying God. Hit him up. So just want to give you a shout out, Shamir. Love you, bro. Facts. We always say facts. That's the new thing, facts. I love that, fact. Hey, LME, facts, straight up, facts. But it is a fact that he loves Jesus, right? And it is a fact that he converted and talked to a man, find out about his background. It ain't just like, hey, you know what? He walked up in here. He had to make some decisions because of the price that Jesus paid for his life. You know, I know for us, for Diane and I, as I alluded to before, you know, we've got, you know, Generosity Summit Sunday coming up. And I can remember specifically how difficult when Generosity Sunday came in some of our spots, we were like cringing. Man, how can we give something? How can we give something to be able to serve the poor? Like Mark Aguirre, hero man, love these guys. I mean, just Mark Ottenwaller, you know, Steve Atkins, and all the brothers, you know, Friends of Africa. I went to Africa last year to the marriage retreat. Steve and Susan are going this year for the marriage retreat. I tell you what, all I can say is that when we left Africa, we've been given missions contribution since we've left Africa. I'll just leave it at that. We've been given missions contribution since we left Africa. That's all I would say. You get the picture. So what I would say, brothers and sisters, even if you have a little bit, even if you have very few, it could be something as simple as, you know, Starbucks coffee. You know, I remember when I was in Africa and we transitioned some money, we cashed in some money, and Francis says, you know, it was $250. He said, you know, that right there is Paul's monthly salary. I was like, what, are you kidding me? He said, that $250, that $250 was Paul's monthly salary. And then we cashed in some more money. It was like $250 again, like $500. $500 US, $250, $750 a month is what they have to feed a family of six of. That's all they get. Literally. And so there are other circumstances that have come up. You know, kids are in private school. You know, they're trying to transition to a new ministry and get to Montreal. The person, you know, stole all the money and was fraudulent the first time. And then the second time, the government didn't read the passport the right way. And I'm praying, bro, and I'm talking to this brother. I'm on the phone. He's hyperventilating. I had to pray for him. We're on WhatsApp just praying, just talking to God. Here's a guy on the mission field laying his life down, and we're trying to help him find solutions for his family. And say, hey, man, there's no benevolence fund. There's nothing like that. And so for me, it's inspiring where we were. I said, bro, from U.S. standards, we were poor. Things happened many years ago. I know that God's going to provide for you. Here, this is the least we can do. This is the least we can do. For me to serve as a tent maker evangelist, as a volunteer, to lay my life down like this, is the least I can do for God. It's the least I can do. I don't ever want this church to give me a dime for my services. I don't deserve it. It's the least that I can do. It's the least I can do. What about us? Is our giving conditional? We have to examine that. I think that's what Jesus is helping them with in Mark 10, verse 35, especially in that last chapter. He's helping them. Is your love going to be conditional or unconditional? What do you need to work through in your heart to be able to show the unconditional love that Jesus has shown us? I think that's what he's asking them. And I think we have to reflect on that. And in the West, it's hard to do, man. It's hard to just be unconditional. I look at my schedule now, I'm like, good gosh, man, wow. I gotta make sure I get some naps and I sleep well and eat right. So I got my boy, you know, I've worked with David Shone a couple of times before he got married in the gym. Now me and my boy Rob Rosado, we're up there at 5 a.m. knocking it out, man. Trying to be in shape 3 days a week at least, just so I can have the energy to serve God and be my best, because I was bought at a price. So the least I can do is be in the best shape that I can be in to be able to serve God and give glory to him. You know what I'm saying? That's the least I can do. It's the least I can do. Thursday morning, man, Coach Reed is here. That's my man, Coach Reed. Head coach of McKeithry is up in here. There he is right there. Give him a right here. He's awesome. Man, 6 a.m., we're at Blue Dawn. I wasn't sold on it before, but now I love it. 6 a.m., you got to be there at 6. Okay, coach, be there at 6. Here we go. Then we go to work. Then we go to an evangelist meeting at 1 o'clock, 12:30 with Jeff. Then we go back to work. Then Thursday night, we got the 2 times the Bible study. We're good. That's what we're doing. Friday morning, we're in the gym at 5 a.m. lifting, hour and a half. Rob's a good teacher, by the way, if you want to come. Then we're working. Then we're getting after. Okay, supposed to have a date night. Went out on a date with my wife. Saturday morning, brother calls me. Hey, got to get together. 8:30, we're up in there. Here we go. Little discipling time. 9:30, another brother. Then I'm there at the gym with Matt. Come on, Matt. Here we go. Awesome. That's men's day every Saturday, by the way. That gym on Saturday is unbelievable. Just the personalities, the testosterone flying around. I love it, man. It's awesome. But we're there, 12:30, we go ahead. Okay, honey, coming home. Let's go. 12:30, go meet with a couple. Drive out to Douglasville. Here we go. Spend some time with them to encourage them. Come home, take a nap. Hey, we had Mike's 60th birthday party. Here we go right there. That's awesome. 60th birthday party last night. This morning, went out, had a business run. Had to go down to West End and put a sign in the yard. Boom, put a sign in the yard because the guy's trying to sell a house. He's got an open house today. Boom, 8:30, I'm out there. Okay, let me finish my message. Call Shamir. Shamir, can I use your name? Yeah, amen, bro. Go ahead and do that. So there we go. After this, 12 o'clock, family group leaders meeting. We're Thrive. Awesome. After that, MAG meeting, missions meeting. Get some rest. 5 o'clock, go out to dinner with a couple. After that, 6:30, we're going to the Southeast Leaders Retreat. That's the weekend. That's the weekend. And I feel awesome. Because I'm eating the right food, trying to put that water in the system, trying to work out, trying to be my mess for God. I got to get a workout in with Jeff. You know what I mean? He's bigger than me, so you got to take it easy on me. Look at you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, sit straight. Yeah, yo. Sit up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But no, what I'm saying, guys, what are we doing to lay our lives down? The why is what motivates me. It's not the stuff. It's the why. And I think for us, sometimes we have to be careful that we don't compartmentalize what we're going to do. A church should never be 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. Not a church of disciples. In any aspect, whether it's in giving, whether it's in evangelizing, whether it's in serving, 20% of the church should not be doing 80% of the work. That shouldn't happen. Every part should do its work. Because everyone knows what their why is, they contribute where they can. You may not have the energy level that I have. I told you I have ADD, so I gotta be active. But you may not have that. You may have other strengths. Use them. I know many of you who are incredibly talented. Use your strengths. Understand what Jesus says here. Give your life as a ransom for many. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Galatians 2:20, "The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And what we're going to do for communion is going to be a little bit different today. And I pray and hope that this has inspired you to figure out your why. To not make comparisons, to not look at someone else's life and say, man, I wish I can do that, but just to be you. Do you for God's glory. Do you for God's glory. But I want us to hear this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to sing a song, and then Josh is going to pray. And the song is going to be, "I Give My Life Away." That's going to be the song. I was inspired by that song. I love this song. But I want us to listen to this passage. For verse 14, it says, For Christ's love compels us. In the NLT, it says, Christ's love controls us. Because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world in himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he's committed us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through you, through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you." I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And the church says, amen. Let's all stand and sing, "I Give My Life Away."